right, Giggs, you ready?
Three men on a mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. Now the man on the left was a sinner. Tied to the cross he bled, could have been forgiven, but he mocked the Lord instead. You say you are the Son of God. They nailed you to a tree. Come down and save yourself, if God the Father be. Three men on a mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. Now the man on the right was a sinner. Sorry for his sins, begged the Lord's forgiveness. And Jesus said to him, fear not this earthly death. Before this day is o'er, you'll be with me in paradise, on heaven's golden shore. Three men on a mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. He died for you and me.
Giggs, that was wonderful. Thank you. You can sing again for us sometime, okay? I want to share a message with you today that the Lord has placed on my heart. I want to use the title, God's Correction. I want to read some scripture from Hebrews chapter 12, and I sure do ask an interest in your prayers today. I know that we try not to question the Lord, but that's hard sometimes, isn't it? I mean, it's difficult sometimes not to question the Lord. And I know there have been many times for me that the Lord has burdened my heart with something, and I've thought, well, I wonder why. I imagine every preacher here knows exactly that feeling, and I wonder why, Lord, why would you do that? And then sometimes the Lord will... he'll come along and he'll burden our hearts with a message to bring that we may not understand why, we may not know his reasons, but sometimes the Lord will place something on our heart that there is one thing we do know. He sure didn't put it there for us to become popular. And I don't think that... if you've been called to preach God's word, you shouldn't worry about being popular. We ought to just do what the Lord tells us to do. And, you know, I had hopes and anticipations when I came here 2 years ago to be your pastor, that we would be able, you know, to be close, that we would be able to be friends. But I had a greater desire, a desire that was above that, and that doing what God told me to do. Amen. And I really, honestly, I didn't really come to be the pastor that you think I ought to be. I come to be the pastor that God wanted me to be. And I think it's important for all of us that we mind the Lord and that we do the things that the Lord tells us to do. So if you want to read with me, turn to Hebrews 12. I want to begin reading there with the first verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And I'll stop my reading there with verse 11. In the years that I have been preaching, there have been many times that the Lord, by His Spirit, has moved up on my heart and has burdened my heart and has directed me to, through God's Word, to warn the lost to flee from the wrath to come. And I hope today, if you're here and you're lost, that you'll do exactly that, that you will flee the wrath to come. But God also, as a pastor, God has on many occasions burdened my heart also to warn His children, His people, that you better proceed with caution when you're dealing with God. Amen. You better be really, really careful how you deal with God. And I want us today to think about God's chastening or God's correction, and that's what it is. When God chastens us, that's what He's doing, is He is correcting us. And I thought today that I would ask, and if you don't want to raise your hand or participate in this, that's fine. You don't have to do that. But I thought today that I would just ask a couple of questions. And I thought I would ask, did you ever do something in your life that angered your parents? Did you ever do something wrong and get a whipping from your parents for that? If you did, raise your hand if you would. A lot of hands going up. Oh, me too. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever done something wrong against your Heavenly Father and got a whipping for it? A lot of hands going up there, too. I know I sure have. Now, if you were to ask me today, And I'll just be honest with you. When I was growing up, my dad's method of when I had done something where I got a whipping, the method he used, he could swing a mean belt. And I felt it quite a few times. But if you were to ask me today, would you rather have had a whipping from your earthly father or your heavenly father, I would have taken my earthly father's whippings many, many times over the whippings that God has given me. I mean, he can really get your attention. And we need to understand that, and we need to always remember that. And you know, I thought in this today, when God put this on my heart, I thought, you know, perhaps there are young Christians among us today that can really be helped by this. But we need to understand that God, the things that he tells us to do, he takes that very, very seriously. When God tells his children to do something, he means for it to be done. And when he tells us not to do something, he expects us not to do it. And we need to understand that about our Heavenly Father. You know, we had a here Wednesday night, those of us that were able to be here at prayer meeting, as far as I was concerned Wednesday night, we heard a very good lesson presented about love. And what I'm talking about today is about God's love. If God did not love us, there would be no chastening. If God did not love us, there would be no correction. If, if your earthly parents had not loved you, there would have not been correction. They would have just let you go and do whatever you wanted to do and run and be as wild as you wanted to be if they had not loved you and wanted to see you learn to do what was right. Discipline is prompted by love. I mean, true discipline is prompted by love. And when God chastens his people, that is always his motive behind it. God's correction to us is always done in love. If he were to chasten us in his full wrath, boy, we wouldn't have a chance, would we? But God chastens us because he loves us. And that's what we are told here in these verses. And I think that I want to look at a few of these. Now, we are told in this, and if we go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, we can find where this verse that was spoken in Hebrews 12 and 5, where that verse was taken. In Proverbs 3:11, it says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." And we also find it talked about in the book of Job. In Job chapter 5, verse 17, Job said, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." And so I say today to all of us, and again, I want to say especially to you who are young in the Lord, we've had several here throughout this year that have become members of the church, that have been recently saved and are what the Bible would call babes in Christ. And I want to urge you that as you go through your Christian life, through the process, the continual process of sanctification, there's something that you need to learn You need to learn to listen to the Lord. You need to determine that when God speaks to you and when God tells you things and God leads you into doing things, you need to listen to what the Lord tells you to do because He expects you to do it. And another thing that we need to always remember, and I want to use perhaps some things here as illustrations to prove these points as I go through the message, but another thing that we want to always remember is that whatever it is that God asks you to do, don't ever make the mistake of saying, well, that doesn't seem like a very important thing. Don't ever take anything that God asks you to do lightly, because whatever it is that God asks of you, folks, listen, we have many illustrations in the scriptures where God asks things of people, of His people, and they were things that you and I could look at and we could say, well, that doesn't seem like a very big thing that God was asking there. We may even look at it and say, that doesn't seem like it was something of monumental importance or anything like that. But God took it very seriously when the person that He was asking to do that didn't do it. You know, if God burdens your heart when we come together for worship, if God burdens your heart and moves upon your heart by His Spirit and leads you to testify before the people, I mean, He's serious about that. He wants it to be done. Have you ever heard, the statement, and I guess that this will show us, you know, how stubborn that we really can be. But have you ever heard somebody, maybe all of a sudden in the service, they get up, they jump up to testify and they say, I can't go any farther because my heart is about to beat out of my chest. And if we really think about it, why did we fight it that long? I told somebody one time, I said, you know, when I heard that, it gave me a good idea of what a Baptist person is like. A Baptist person, will testify just before cardiac arrest. I mean, you know, God is just, sometimes it's just like, why does God have to do so much to get our attention? We could be willing to do what God asks us to do, and we should be willing to do what He asks of us when He asks us to do it. You know, if the Lord moves upon your heart to do something or to say something in the service here this morning, He's not asking it to be done tonight. We need to do things that the Lord impresses us to do when He asks us to do them, because God knows the reason for those things at the time that He asked them. But let's never forget this. Be really careful. I mean, really proceed with caution, because God is not mocked. Never. God is never mocked. God is never imposed upon. God is never taken advantage of. Do you know today that you and I have a Heavenly Father, those of us who have been blessed to be saved by His grace, we have a Heavenly Father today that we cannot put one thing past. Not one thing. We can't get anything past God. Now, there, you know, I'm confident today that if I were to ask this question, and I won't ask you to raise your hands anymore, but I'm confident today that if I were to ask you to raise your hand if you ever put anything past your parents, I believe there'd be a lot of hands go up as well. There were things when we were growing up, for all of us, there were things that we were able to get by with,
There were things that we were able to sneak by our parents at times. And I remember one time my wife, she made the mistake after our children were grown. She made the mistake one time of asking our boys to tell her about some of the things that they had done when they were growing up that we never knew about. And within about 2 minutes, she was begging them to stop. I mean, there are things that we get past our parents. And listen, I'm not making light of this. You know, I don't want to confuse anybody. So let me say this. Children, obey your parents. The Bible teaches us to obey our parents. Obey your parents in the Lord. This is the right thing to do. But and don't be trying that, but the point that I want to make is I know that there are things that we are able to do in this life, that we are able to get things past our parents to where our earthly parents don't know that we did something, but we will never get anything past the Lord. Nothing. There's nothing that you and I could ever say. There's not a word if we were to steal away into the deepest, darkest corner that we could find and utter a word. There's not a word that you and I could ever speak that God in heaven would not hear. There's not anything that we could look on. Listen, if you look at something that your eyes should not be looking at, you may get by with it with people, but there's not one thing that you and I could ever look at that God will not know that we did it. There's not a single thought, I mean, there's not an evil thought that could ever enter our mind that we would think that God would not be aware that we had the thought. And there's nothing we can do that God does not know we have done. Now, I'm just going to tell you this, and I'm not going to turn and read it. I'll let you do that. If you don't believe that's true, you go and you read the 139th Psalm, and you'll find out that that's true. There's not a thought that we think that God doesn't know about. There's not a thing that we see that God doesn't know we see it. God hears everything that we hear. God knows us inside and out, and God has the ability to deal with us accordingly because there's nothing hidden from Him. Now, when I was growing up, and I really want you to think about this today. When I was growing up, my parents had the responsibility and they had the right to discipline me. They had the right. I don't know what has happened to our country. I don't know how that we got so confused about things. I don't know how we ever got to the point where people want to have parents arrested for disciplining their children. That's the right and the responsibility of a parent. And I'm not talking about abuse. I don't mean that at all. But folks, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people today crying abuse, that what's being done when I was growing up was called a whipping. I mean, listen, if we don't discipline our children, then we are going to raise up a nation of people that aren't going to be worth anything to God or to anybody. I mean, when people lack discipline, they're just not worth, you know, they're not valuable to anybody. We need discipline in our lives. So my parents had that right, and they had that responsibility. But their discipline had limits. There was limits to the discipline of our earthly parents. When we did something wrong, when we got out of line, when we disobeyed something that our earthly parents told us to do, they certainly did not have the right to take our life because of that. But I'll tell you what, God does. God does, and He has. And we need to understand that we can lose our very life disobeying the Lord. You know, if God were to tell you not to touch something, and you touched it, I mean to physically with your hand, if God were to tell you, don't touch that, and you were to reach out and touch it, would that really seem like a big thing to you? I remember reading in the scriptures in the 6th chapter of 2 Samuel about a man named Uzzah. You know, God, when the Ark of the Covenant was built, God had told them that nobody was to touch it. When it was carried, the priests were to put the staves through the rings on the side and bear it on their shoulders, and that's the way they were to carry it. Nobody was supposed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And when they were recovering it one time, when it had been taken by the Philistines, they had it on a cart, and it shook. And there was a man named Uzzah, and you know what? I suppose that he even had good intentions in doing what he was doing. When that cart shook, I believe he was afraid that perhaps the Ark of the Covenant would fall off, and he reached out and he touched it, and it angered God to the point that he took the life of Uzzah. Listen, we don't need to do the things that God has said we should not do, even if they seem to make sense to us. If God said don't do it, don't do it. God is a stickler about the things that He has told us. I believe there have been God's people down through the ages of time that have left the world before the Lord was really finished with them because they would not listen to God. I don't know about your experiences. I'm convinced in my lifetime that I have known people. I'm convinced in my lifetime that I have been acquainted with people that have experienced that very thing, children of God that would not listen to Him, that would not obey Him, that would not do the things that God had asked them to do, and some of them at a very young age, when they were seemingly healthy, nothing was wrong with them, and suddenly they were gone from the world. Now, I want to make sure today, and I wanted to make sure that I inserted this somewhere in the message. I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not saying that every time that somebody faces a trial, I'm not saying that every time somebody has a hardship, every time that somebody gets sick, it's because of some sin they committed against God. I don't believe that. I believe there are things that happen for different reasons. But you know, I can say this, for me, those times in my life, there's been a distinction when I was being punished by the Lord for what I had done against Him. God has a way of letting us know why this is happening to us. I know He sure has with me. God has a way of letting us know that this is coming about because of what you have done, because of your sin, because of your voluntary disobedience to the Lord. When God's heavy hand of correction has been upon me in my life, I knew exactly why the things that were happening to me were happening. And I believe if you're honest with yourself, you'll know the same thing. Do you ever remember a time when you were in the process of getting a whipping or something, maybe from your mom or dad? Do you remember a time when you were getting the switch laid to you and you had a big smile on your face and you're like, oh boy, I was hoping this would happen. Rejoicing in it. I never did. I was like, man, I'll be glad when this is over. No chastening for the present seems joyous. When we're going through it, it's a hard thing, and no correction at the moment, at the time that it's being done, we don't rejoice in that, but thank God that through the love that He has for His children, thank God that through His correction towards us, when we do that, which we should not be doing, thank God that through His heavy hand of chastening, God can bring us around to what we ought to be. You know, I would have a hard time imagining any of you coming to me and saying, well, I told my son to do something the other day and he didn't do it. Told my child to do something the other day and he disobeyed me and took off somewhere and didn't do it. I'd have a hard time imagining if I ask any of you, well, what'd you do about it? Say, well, I took him out, threw him in the sea, and a big fish swallowed him. I'd say, man, that was drastic. I mean, we don't exercise that type of discipline on our children. But God does, doesn't He? God told Jonah, He said, you go down there and you preach to those Gentiles there in that city of Nineveh, the message that I'm giving you to preach to them, you go and you do it. And Jonah didn't do it. He didn't listen to God. He ran and went the other way and got on a ship and tried to flee from God. Listen, friend, we will never get away from God. You can take a plane, you can take a bus, you can take a ship, you can run, you can do whatever you want to do. There's no place to hide from the Lord. And when Jonah got on that ship headed to Tarshish, God knew exactly where he was at. God designed the punishment that he wanted to use. Listen, whatever that God does to you and I when we disobey his holy will and his commandments toward us, whatever God does to us, he is the one that chooses the punishment, and we have no right to argue with him about it. No right. God told them not to touch the ark. Uzzah touched it and he died. But he didn't take the life of Jonah, did he? And you know, you and I could sit here and we could rationalize all we wanted to, and we could say, well, that's not right. No, God chooses the correction. It's all up to him. And he's got the right to choose whatever he wants. There may be situations with our earthly parents where we might legitimately be able to say, well, that wasn't right. That wasn't fair to discipline me that way and discipline this person this way. We can't do that with God. God knows exactly what it will take to bring us around. You know, after 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, oh, Jonah was ready to go, wasn't he? He was ready to go and do what God asked him to do. Imagine a man like Moses. Imagine a man like David, a man after God's own heart. Imagine these, think about these great servants of God that lived in times past, that they sinned against God. They did, you know, David committed hideous sins. I mean, he really did. He committed some very hideous sins. He was guilty of adultery, He was guilty of deceit. He was guilty of murder. And I mean, you know, David's sins, when they started there, when his sins started with Bathsheba, just had that snowball effect. Let me tell you something. The best thing you can do with sin is repent of it and get rid of it. Because when you try to hide it, when you try to cover it up, it's just going to have a snowball effect. It's going to pick up more and more as it goes. And that's exactly what David's sin did. The more he tried to hide it, the more guilty of sin he became. But Moses, he didn't do nearly what David did he? God told him to speak to the rock, and he would send the water out of it. And instead of speaking to it, he took the rod and he smote it twice. He hit it twice. And, we could look at that and we could think, it sure doesn't seem to me like Moses was guilty of the hideous things that David was guilty of. But let me tell you something. God took the life of Moses. He let David live. But he punished David the rest of his days. You make the call, which one was worse or not. I mean, David suffered in his family. I believe Brother Wheat mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. He suffered, his family suffered the rest of his days because of what he had done. Be careful. I mean, be really careful how you deal with God. The Bible says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? I want to say this to you that are lost before I close today. If God will punish his people, and thank God that whatever that it is, thank God that we can't ever be separated from his love. We'd be in big trouble if we could be. We're never going to lose our salvation. David lost the joy of his salvation, and that's a big loss in itself. But we're never going to lose our salvation. But you think about this. If God will correct his children, even those that we read about that served him diligently, if God will correct his children, sometimes even to the point of taking their life because they disobeyed to do, they did not do something that God asked them to do and disobeyed them and lost their life because of that. If God is such a stickler about what he asks of us that he will do that to his children, where do you think those stand that are lost and in sin before him and that have never even obeyed the commands of the gospel? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? Lost friend, where do you stand before the Lord? I mean, you, if you're lost and in your sins, well, I'll tell you where you stand. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. And the Bible says concerning those that are lost that the wrath of God abideth on him. You stand to experience the full unleashing of God's wrath and his fury if you continue lost and in your sins. I can't even explain to you what that's like. I've read in the scriptures about God opening the earth and causing it to swallow people up. God took David's child from him because of what he had done. I remember reading about in the fifth chapter of Acts in the New Testament, reading about Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to God and they lost their lives just like that. They sold their property and lied to the Holy Ghost about what they had sold it for and just fell down dead before him. I remember reading about a man, not one of his children, but I remember reading about a man named Herod that one day set up on a throne and put royal apparel on himself and made himself appear like God before the people. And he died in worms, ate him up. Isn't that something? God is not to be trifled with. I mean, whatever he asks of us, we need to do it. We need to do it. Lost friend, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. If you don't do it, if you refuse to obey his commandment, to repent of your sins and trust him for salvation, you're going to have to spend eternity in hell, separated from his love forever and forever. I think we should stand and have a song.